Chronicles chapter 7, I'm sure you're familiar with it if you've ever been to church. It's preached on, quoted. If you've ever looked at the news, whenever there's a disaster, someone always gets up and quotes it, and it's great. But before we get into 2 Chronicles 7, this is God's response to Solomon's prayer. I want to go back to Solomon's prayer. Now, I'm not going to read the whole thing, but if you will, turn to 2 Chronicles chapter 6. Starting with verse 14. Again, it's a long prayer, and I'm not going to read the whole thing, but I thought verse 14 was significant. 2 Chronicles 6, 14. Lord God of Israel, there is no God like you in the heaven or in the earth, keeping his gracious covenant with your servants, plural, who walk before you with their whole heart. And it's just kind of a praising God for who you are. God, thank you for keeping your word, for fulfilling your promises, especially to those who follow you with a whole heart. We have a lot of people who like to follow God with their tongue, but not with anything else. And so this is just kind of a little sermon that Solomon was saying. God, I'm giving you it all to you. And then for me, you can read the rest of it throughout the week if you're interested. But for me, I skipped over to verse 30. And again, in Solomon's prayer, it's a long prayer. He says, may you hear in heaven, your dwelling place, may you forgive and repay the man according to his ways. That one should shock a few of us. If God rewarded us according to our ways, some of us would be in hot water. And so praise God for forgiveness and for grace that he gives to us. And so repay a man according to his ways, since you know his heart. For you alone know the human heart. Sometimes we think we can deceive people, and we may be successful in deceiving people, but we can never deceive God. And so that's what he's saying here. I know your heart. And he goes on, so that they may fear you and walk in your ways all the days they live on the land that you gave your ancestors. And so he goes on, and so that's kind of a highlight of Solomon's prayer. And in response to Solomon's prayer in 2 Chronicles chapter 7, starting with verse 12, it reads like this. Then the Lord appeared to Solomon at night and said to him, I have heard your prayers and have chosen this place for myself as a temple of sacrifice. Solomon built this beautiful place, very elaborate, where they were going to come and worship. And I think there's a lesson for us. We don't need to be wasting a lot of money, but when we come together to worship, it's a very special place. We should treat it with respect, and there's nothing wrong with having beautiful things that are going to remind us of God. So he goes on. If I close the sky so there's no rain, or if I command the grasshopper to consume the land, or if I send pestilence on my people, and my people who are called by my name humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their evil ways, then I will hear from heaven, forgive their sins, and heal their land. My eyes will now be open and my ears attentive to the prayers from this place. And I have now chosen and consecrated this temple so that my name may be there forever. My eyes and my heart will be there at all times. It's a very special place where people come together to worship the Lord. Would you pray with me, please? Heavenly Father, thank you for your holy word. I thank you for Solomon, a man of prayer, a human who also sinned, blew it, got away, and then came back. And so, Father, may we learn from him. And may we learn from what you said to him as some patterns for our life today. So please bless us now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. There's something special about talking to God. I enjoy the privilege of talking to the creator of the universe. This week here we have our church camp out. I'll be going up on Wednesday, and some others are going up on Thursday. Maybe some are coming up on Friday. And we're going out in the middle of the desert. And it's just interesting to look out and see all the stars in the sky. Now, I go out here, and this last week we had some kind of full moon or whatever the thing was called, and I looked up, and the moon was beautiful. I looked around, and I didn't see any stars. You just kind of wonder what happened to them. Well, when you go out in the desert and it's just pitch dark, you get to see all of God's creation. I enjoy talking to the God of the universe who created all of these things that are around us, whatever that may be. I enjoy the responsibility about talking to God about His people. And so I pray for you guys every single day. Those of you that are church members and or part of my prayer list, I pray for you by name every single day. And I enjoy talking to God about His people. And God, what is Your will for me? What is Your will for the church? What is Your will for Your people? I enjoy the freedom of talking to God about things that are on my mind, issues in life, things I'm concerned about, things I'm excited about, whatever it might be. I love just talking to God about the things that come to my mind and talking to Him. I enjoy talking to the Almighty God who is creator of everything and then stopping and just calling Him Father. Gus read from Luke chapter 11 this morning. It's similar to Matthew chapter 6 as Jesus taught His disciples how to pray. He says, "Our Father who art in heaven," calling God, the creator of everything, Father. There's something about calling Him that I like. I enjoy talking to God and asking Him to supply my needs, things that I need, things that I want, things, whatever comes to my mind there. I just enjoy asking Him to supply my needs. I enjoy talking to God and declaring my loyalty and my allegiance to Him. He is my Lord. And I've said before that if He's not Lord of all, He is not Lord at all in your life. Because the word Lord means you belong to Him, totally committed to Him, that loyalty and allegiance. I enjoy talking to God and telling Him that He is my God. Thank You for choosing me, and thank You for giving me the freedom to choose You. You are my God. I enjoy talking to God and exclaiming, "I am His child." And so there's things that are going on. We just want to praise God. I enjoy it. You see, there's something special about talking to God. Something special. And I just want to tell you today that it's a great opportunity that we have to talk to God. Now, there's two things I want to share with you this morning. As we look to 2 Chronicles chapter 7, typically we start preaching on, if my people will humble themselves, pray, seek my face, turn from their wicked ways. And that's a typical four-point sermon that we preach. I've preached that several times before. But there's two things I want to share with you this morning. And first of all, I want to say that it's special to be called by God's name. There's something special about being called by God's name. In December, I took three Sundays to define the word gospel. And I told you the word literally means good news, but I gave you 15 different definitions or descriptions of what the gospel is all about. As part of the definition, I mentioned that the gospel is knowing God's name. Now, we've been reading through the Bible. Hopefully, you've completed that December 31st. So we read the book of Joel. And then this last week in Wednesday night Bible study, we talked about the book of Joel. In Joel and in Romans, it says, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." There's something special about the name of God. In fact, we sing the song from Philippians chapter 2 that there's a name above all names, and that the name of Jesus, every knee is going to bow in heaven and earth and everywhere. There's something special about God's name. And so He says here in 2 Chronicles, "My people who are called by my name." And so there's something special about knowing God's name. Whether we want to call it the gospel or whether we call it who we are, there's something special about that. And so as I look to 2 Chronicles here, now we can see that not only is there something special about knowing God's name, but there's something special about being called by God's name. What does that mean? Well, it could mean a lot of things, but one thing I want to say is that this is symbolic of carrying a mark of God's ownership. A mark of God's ownership. As I've studied a little bit about history, I understand back 2,000 years ago, slavery was practiced, and sometimes a master would free his slave. And when that slave became free, he could kind of do whatever he wanted. But sometimes that slave wouldn't want to leave the master's house because the master had been so good to him. And so the slave says to the master, "I want to give myself to you and be a permanent slave." And so as I understood it, they would take that slave and they would take his ear and they would put it next to the door of the house and they would get what's called an awl, A-W-L. We might call it an ice pick. And they would put that up to the ear, or maybe we'd call it piercing an ear, for those who have pierced ears. And they would put that ear up there, and then they'd put that awl there, and then they'd whack it one time, put a big hole in it. And that would be a mark that this person belongs to this house. Now, literally, it's not talking about the house. It's talking about the household, and there'd be that kind of mark. And so we are called by God's name, and we have chosen to be His servant, His slave. And so we have that mark, we have that brand, we have that whole saying, "I am God's." And so we're called by God's name. And so this is what this one kind of tells us, if you're called by my name. Remember the book of Lamentations, I think it is. I mentioned the other night, I haven't preached from it before, but there's a song in there that says, "I am my beloved's and he is mine." You guys, anyone old enough to remember that song? "I am my beloved's and banner over me." You get into all these things. I used to work with young people a lot, and so we always had to do something to keep them awake. And so we have all these action songs. And so I just remember that song, "I am my beloved, there's something, and he is mine." There's something about that that's special about being called by God's name. One of the benefits of the gospel, and I mentioned, is knowing God's name. But another one of the benefits of the gospel is knowing that we're in the presence of God. Called by my name, and God is there. I like it, and it says here, the Lord appeared to Solomon. The Lord was there, and Solomon was aware that he was in the presence of God. This last year, we've read through the Bible, and there were some outstanding verses to me. I mentioned before, I got more out of reading the Bible last year than I ever have. There was just something special about it. But there's some verses I want to share with you as we kind of wrap up last year, look forward to this year, and think about what God is saying to us. So if you will, turn with me to Isaiah chapter 52. Isaiah chapter 52. Now, if you're in the Pew Bible, I'll make it as easy as I can on you. Turn to page 673. Isaiah 52, verse 6. It says, "Therefore, my people will know my name." Again, there's something special about knowing the name of God. There's something special about being called by God's name. "My people will know my name. Therefore, they will know that on that day that I am he who says, here I am." God's right here. There's something special. Called by His name because we belong to Him and He is with us. He's right here today. And so this is a verse I hope I can remember throughout this year and maybe my life. God is here. We sing a song, "The Lord is in His holy temple." And where's that temple? I think Jesus says, or Paul says, our body is a temple of the Holy Spirit. Let's go to the book of Amos. Amos chapter 4, verse 12. Now, again, make it as easy as I can on you. Turn to page 845. Some people might have a little trouble finding Amos. Amos chapter 4, verse 12 and 13, page 845. Therefore, Israel, that is what I will do. And since I will do that to you, Israel, prepare to meet your God. I think there's a message for all of us that we need to be prepared to meet God. But verse 13 is what I like. He is here. Those first three words of verse 13. He is here. The one who forms the mountains and creates the wind and reveals his thoughts to man. The one who makes the dawn out of darkness and strides on its heights of the earth. Yahweh, the Lord of hosts, is his name. There's something special about his name. But for me, right now, those first three words, he is here. And I get excited that we're in the presence of God. People of prayer, talking to God, because he's right here with us, right here and right now. Well, let's turn over to the book of Micah. Micah chapter 4. Micah chapter 4. That's going to be on page 856. Now, we have about 30 or 35 Awana kids on Wednesday night. If they were here, have them line up and we can do Bible drill. Some of these are a little hard to find. Micah chapter 4, verse 5. Again, page 856. It says, though all the people each walk in the name of their gods, we will walk in the name of Yahweh our God forever and ever. You know, there's something special. As I'm reading through the Bible, I'm just reading things that I've read before, but it just didn't stick to me for some reason. But all of a sudden I see this and I see people can walk any way they want. You get to choose what you want to do. But as for me, Joshua says, and my house, we'll serve the Lord. Micah was saying the same thing. They can do that, but we will walk in the name of Yahweh our God. And so if my people, which are called by my name, there's something special about knowing the name of God. There's something special about being called by the name of God. One more scripture there, and that's Zephaniah. It's going to be on page 868. Zephaniah chapter 3. Verse 9. He says, for I will then restore pure speech to the peoples. Now, this was Zephaniah who was talking. This was like 586 years before Christ. Maybe in our prayer life, we should pray, God, please restore pure speech to your people. You see, there's something special. When we know the name of God, when we are called by God's name, we need to talk properly. There's no need for Christians to use vulgar words. There's no need for Christians to use profanity. I even go so far, and you know my little hang-up on so far, is saying we don't need euphemisms. Why don't we just honor God in our speech? Now, that was not part of my sermon. That was just kind of a freebie for you this morning. Verse 9, for I will then restore pure speech to the people so that all of them may call on the name of the Lord, name of Yahweh, and serve him with a single purpose. I have never preached from Zephaniah. If I did, I think I would choose to preach that verse right there. One, he talks about the language that we need to have. Second, he talks about being able to call upon the Lord to be saved. And then it talks about serving him, not just an outward thing, but with a single purpose. That single purpose for our life ought to be to honor and to glorify God. People have asked me, last night someone says, what's your favorite book in the Bible? I don't know if there is a favorite book, but I do have some favorite verses. And one of my favorite verses is 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13, whether you eat or drink. And let me tell you, I love to eat and I love to drink Dr. Pepper. So whether you're eating or drinking or whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. You see, there's a single purpose in our life, and that is to honor God in everything we have. If we're going to be a people of God, called by His name, then we need to have that single purpose. My goal in life is not to retire and get Social Security and Medicare and everything else. My purpose in life is to honor and to glorify God in everything that I say and everything that I do. You see, it's all about Him. If my people who are called by my name. And so as I look to that verse there in 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14, you know, it starts off by knowing the name of God, being called the name of God. And I don't know exactly what that may mean to you. It could be being called a Christian. And if we're going to be a Christian, then we need to act like a Christian. It could be called a follower of Jesus Christ, a disciple of Jesus, whatever it might be. Identifying ourselves with this mark of ownership that He is my God and I am His child. And I want to honor Him in everything I do. The second thing that I notice about this verse, skipping over the part about turning from our wicked ways, if my people will pray. If we pray, those three words. You see, sometimes we pray, and we have a lot of reasons why we pray. One thing is, sometimes we pray out of desperation. Have you ever got to the point in your life when everything, you just don't know what to do, and so your last resort, which should have been the first resort, is to pray. Turn with me, if you would please, to Psalms. Psalms 61. Again, if you're using the Pew Bible, it's going to be on page 520. Psalm 61, right in the middle of your Bible, verses 1 and 2. God, hear my cry. Pay attention to my prayer. I call on you from the ends of the earth. When my heart is without strength, lead me to the rock that is higher than me. I don't know if you've ever been so desperate. You don't know what's going to do, whether you're scared to death or whether you're worried to death or whatever it may be, but your heart has just melted and it's sunk and there's just no hope left. Call out to God in desperation. I was listening to a song this week and they talked about if God were to answer your prayers this week, how many people would be affected? How many people would be benefited by your prayer? If God answered your prayer this last week, how much would the world be changed? There's a song. I want you to watch this song. Listen to this song. The words are on there. You don't have to sing it with them, but if you can just kind of follow along with me now.
People hurting, people broken, beaten down and feeling hopeless. Wonder if it's gonna always be this way. Who will speak up for the captive? Show some love and hear a past that binds the wounds we think will never go away. But what if we could be a people on our knees as one before the King? 'Cause we believe. All the world starts changing when the church starts praying. Strong won't start to break. Oh, when we pray, prison walls start shaking at the sound of praising. Nothing stays the same. Oh, when we pray. Oh, oh, oh. When we pray. Oh, oh, oh. I see revival. I see hope on the horizon as a generation stepping out of faith. Because we will be a people on our knees as one before the King. 'Cause we believe, hey. All the world starts changing when the church starts praying. Strong won't start to pray. Nothing stays the same. Oh, can we pray? Oh, 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 oh.
When the church does pray,
I know I try my best to honor the scriptures, and I know that Solomon prayed a prayer, and that God was there and appeared to Solomon, and God gave Solomon a promise. And I realize that was 3,000 years ago. But there's something within my heart and my mind that says, even though this was written to Solomon, just maybe it's good for us today. That if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray, what happens when we pray? Sometimes we pray out of desperation. We just, God, we are desperate. We need your help. Our prayers are also not only that, but they're a declaration of our total dependence upon God. The passion of our heart is going to be evident in your prayer. What do you pray for? If we could just kind of send a mental tape recorder of your prayers, what is it that you're praying for? And I'm just thinking that so many people across our country pray for wealth and health. And what about God's will to be done? And so we just want to pray, declaring our dependence upon Him. How much of the Lord's Prayer is about God. Gus read it this morning, and I was thinking throughout this week, Jesus in his prayer says, "Our Father," there's something about God, "who art in heaven," declaring where he is, "hallowed be thy name," it's about God, "thy kingdom come," I can say the prayer, but to talk about it in between, I can't do two things at once. "Thy kingdom come." So it's talking about his kingdom. And so there's something about God. "Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." That's again about God and where he is. "Give us this day." So there's a little bit about us. "Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our sins as we forgive others." And that's kind of us and about God. "For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen." If we look to the model prayer there in Matthew chapter 6, it's mostly about God. And so our prayer, I like how Solomon starts off and declares him to be the God of the universe who sustains life, who created everything. And God, we just want to adore you and to worship you. Not about us, but it's about him. John MacArthur, I've been reading this book for a couple months, talking about the gospel and talking about prayer. And so John MacArthur makes a great comment on that. He says, "All the infinitely rich and inexhaustible resources of heaven are available for us as God responds to our prayers." And I just kind of like words. So when I came across infinitely rich and inexhaustible resources at our disposal when we pray, if my people will pray. You see, our prayers come from an obedient heart, as our desire is to obey God. Turn with me, if you would, to 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3, verse 22. This is going to be on page 1121. It says, verse 21 and 22, I'll read both of them. "Dear friends, if our conscience doesn't condemn us, we have confidence before God and can receive whatever we ask from Him because we keep His commandments and do what is pleasing in His sight. The two things there is, one is we're keeping His commandments, and second, we're doing things that are pleasing to Him. And so we just have to ask ourselves when we're praying, are we pleasing God or pleasing us? Is it all about us or is it all about Him? Praying to God. Not only do we pray out our desperation, not only do we declare our total dependence upon God, not only do our prayers come from an obedient heart, but also we have the responsibility to pray for each other. Turn with me, if you would, back to 1 Samuel. 1 Samuel chapter 12. Again, not wanting to insult your biblical knowledge, but just to make it a little easier, it's on page 249. 1 Samuel chapter 12, verse 23. And I have in my Bible, a whole section that's been highlighted because I like this little part here. But verse 23 is what I wanted to point out here. He says, "As for me, I vow that I will not sin against the Lord by ceasing to pray for you. I will teach you the good and the right way." And so I take that extremely personal, that I think it's a sin when I, as your pastor, don't pray for you. But I also think that maybe we could go further and say maybe it's a sin when you don't pray for one another and pray for your pastor, that His kingdom will come and His will be done. So we have that responsibility to pray for each other. Over the next year, you're going to hear me speak a lot about prayer and talking to God, and you're going to hear me say that prayer is a command. We're to pray. Two scriptures real quickly. There is Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. It's going to be on page 1080. Ephesians chapter 6, verses 18 and 19. It says, pray. It doesn't say you might pray or if you pray. It says, pray at all times in the Spirit with every prayer and request, and stay alert in this with all perseverance and intercession for the saints. There it is, praying for each other. Pray for me that the message may be given to me, that I may open my mouth to make known with boldness the mystery of the gospel. And so there's something about praying, Ephesians 6, 18 or 19, that we're told to pray. It's a command from God. So not only is it out of desperation, not only declaring our dependence upon Him, not only as an act of obedience from an obedient heart, and not only is it a responsibility to pray for each other, but it's a command to be praying. One more, and that would be 1 Thessalonians 5:17. We don't even need to look it up. If you want to memorize Scripture, this is one of the easiest ones to memorize. Pray without ceasing. Three simple words. Pray without ceasing. 1 Thessalonians 5:17, it's a command to pray. You see, our goal in prayer, our goal in our life is to honor the Father, to glorify the Father. Two scriptures, and then we'll try to bring this together here. Psalms 115. Psalms 115. It's going to be on page 555. Verse 1, Psalms 115, verse 1. "Now to us, Yahweh, not to us, but to your name give glory because of your faithful love, because of your truth." We're not wanting to build up our name, us. We're not trying to build up our church. We're trying to build up the name of God and to give Him all the honor and the glory. And so we glorify the Father. One more. John chapter 14, verse 13. John 14, verse 13. Page 994. It says, "Whatever you ask in my name, I will do it." Why? Why does God want to honor your prayer? Why does God want to answer your prayer? Why? That's the question kids ask all the time. Why? You know, go make your bed. Why? Change your clothes. Why? Do the dishes. Why? Go wash your hands. Go cut your fingernails. Why? Why does God answer our prayer? So the Father may be glorified in the Son. all for the glory of God. That's what we want to do here as we turn ourselves into a people of prayer, talking to God. Again, John MacArthur in his book on prayer says, the primary issue in prayer is not obtaining what we want. Boy, that just kind of blew our prayers apart there. But allowing God to display his glory. We want to honor him. We want God to be honored. The last scripture, again, as we read through the Bible, hopefully you highlighted a whole bunch of verses because they spoke so much. Daniel chapter 9. Daniel chapter 9, page 823. Daniel chapter 9, starting verse 17. Therefore, our God, hear the prayer and the petition of your servant. Show your favor to your desolate sanctuary for the Lord's sake. And so when we're down and out, when everything seems to be falling apart, we want to honor God. So please, God, show your favor for your sake. Listen, my God, and hear. Open your eyes and see our desolation and the city called by your name. For we are not presenting our petition before you based on our righteous acts, but based on your abundant compassion. Lord, hear. Lord, forgive. Lord, listen and act. My God, for your sake, do not delay, because your city and your people are called by your name. For the honor and the glory of God, we call upon him. God, help us that we can be a people of prayer. Would you pray with me, please? Heavenly Father, I thank you that we know your name. We can call upon your name and be saved. And I thank you that we can be called by your name. So, Lord, we call upon you now to save us, to revive us, to restore your glory. May we honor you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.